This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Hi there, Dave.
And we're looking at the issue of historic tax credits with Grow Smart Rhode Island Executive Director Scott Wolf. Scott, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here again.
Let's first break it down. There are state historical tax credits and federal tax credits.
That's
correct.
What's
the difference?
The Rhode Island Historic Tax Credit is fairly similar to the Federal Historic Tax Credit. The Federal Historic Tax Credit provides a 20% credit against federal income tax liability for rehab of eligible historic properties. And the Rhode Island State Historic Tax Credit provides between a 20 and 25% credit for Rhode Island offset to Rhode Island income tax liability.
Now, are both those credits transferable? Both the federal and
yes,
the state?
Yes, they are both transferable, yes, and frequently are transferred because usually the developer does not have the level of tax liability to use all the credit himself or herself.
Well, and it helps generate capital for them up front.
Absolutely.
You can do this in anticipation of the credit.
Get a bridge loan often.
Right, exactly.
Right, that's how
it helps developers move forward with
definitely.
Their projects.
And nope. a lot of these older historic buildings we have just cannot feasibly be redeveloped from an economic standpoint without state credits, and sometimes with the combination of state and federal credits. Often they are paired in Rhode Island rehab projects.
Now, as I understand it, the situation is the governor proposed an extra $52 million in historic tax credits, but that's not coming.
At least it's not coming this year, right. It was really money that already has been authorized to be spent on the Historic Tax Credit Program. It was part of a large bond authorization the legislature passed in 2008 when they suspended the earlier State Historic Tax Credit Program but provided an opportunity for projects enrolled in the program at that time to continue and to be eligible for those credits.
And so that money was, those are credits that have been abandoned. Those projects have been dropped.
That was last year's funding to reinstate the program. This mm-hmm. year, it wasn't as much relying on abandoned projects as on a reserve that they had kept from the bond authorization that they felt they no longer needed to keep as a reserve.
And
it's a little complicated.
And now you mentioned, let's go back. So this year, there are how much in tax credits are in play and how much in projects are
right.
Is
there's
being
about
done?
About 36 million in tax credits that have been at least preliminarily assigned to projects that have applied for the new program. There's requests, though, for at least that much in additional tax credit money from 27 other projects that are on a waiting list right now for the program.
And what's the value of the projects using those credits?
It's around $160-170 million in projected expenditures. So it's very significant infusion of money into the Rhode Island economy. And we're concerned that the 27 projects on the waiting list may not stay on the waiting list. They may decide their project is infeasible, that they can't deal with the uncertainty of waiting a full year for a maybe response. That's a real concern. And I think it speaks to a more general problem in the way the Historic Tax Credit Program has been handled by some of our state leaders. It's been viewed as something that you can switch the faucet on and off for, and that really doesn't really comport well with the kind of predictability and long-term time horizon for action that developers need on these kinds of complicated projects.
Well, just the nature of the subject, do you think there's a strong enough sense in the public's mind about what historic tax credits are and the potential they bring for the economy?
Well, I don't know if people I think the Rhode Island public, by and large, does like the idea of rehabbing historic buildings versus demolishing them and of trying to get more activity in our urban and town centers. I think we've won the debate on that issue. But I think when it comes to the mechanics of the historic tax credit, I don't delude myself into thinking that most people are really conversant with that. But I think the concept behind the historic tax credit is one that most Rhode Islanders appreciate and want to see go forward.
You're listening to The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, and our guest is Grow Smart Rhode Island Executive Director Scott Wolf. Now, in Congress, there is a proposal in the U.S. House to end federal tax credits as a new tax code is being considered. What's the latest you hear about that?
I've heard that for this year, that proposal is dead, that it's not going to go forward, but that the topic of tax reform is not going away, and that those of us who think the federal historic tax credit is a valuable tool for revitalizing our communities need to be vigilant about defending it and promoting it for the foreseeable future, because it could be a target next year, the year after.
That would
really adversely affect Rhode Island. We have more historic buildings per square mile than any other state in America. And the first iteration of the State Historic Tax Credit Program had arguably the most ambitious and successful State Historic Tax Credit Program in the country.
What kind of local projects are on the bubble?
I can cite a few that are on the waiting list that we're aware of. The waiting list is not fully... It's not a fully public document, so we have to kind of scratch around to figure out who's on the waiting list. But there's a Fuller Mill in Pawtucket, near downtown Pawtucket, that a local developer, Scott Davis, wants to rehab as offering work-live kinds of apartments. And that may not go forward because of the decision of the General Assembly. There's a proposal another developer has to redevelop a building near the Viking Hotel in Newport, not the Viking Hotel, but a building near that, and that's now facing an uncertain future, and there are a number of others like that around the state. You know, I think it's a program that's proven its worth. It's not speculative. It's not 38 studios. You don't get the tax credit until or unless your project is successfully completed. You get enrolled in the program early on, but you don't actually get the credit until you've successfully completed your project.
And there are limits per project, isn't that right?
And in the new program, yes, a $5 million per project tax credit cap.
Now, some of the previous projects were much bigger than that.
I mean, absolutely.
Do you see, is this a good thing, a bad thing? Can't really tell. For instance, one of the major projects that a lot of people have been talking about is the Industrial Trust Building, the Superman Building.
Right.
In the previous, the original tax credit regime, it would have been eligible for all of the tax credits that, you know, might be coming to it. Certainly now that's not, that, you know, the most recent version, that's not the case. Do you see that limit being hurting the economic development positives that come from the program?
I don't think so, because it spreads the program's benefits around to more projects. And so it's sort of it's a trade-off. We also were concerned, we being the advocates for the program, that not having a cap might lead to it might lead to disillusionment with the program, because it could be a case where only a few projects were getting the bulk of the funding, and that it might turn from a statewide program to a program only benefiting a couple of communities. So there's that kind of political, sort of practical calculus that went into our actually supporting the per project cap.
Grow Smart Rhode Island, in the few seconds we have left, some other priorities that you have.
We're very enthusiastic about bond issue for two new transit hubs in Providence to streamline our statewide public transportation system. We are very enthusiastic about an environmental bond that the legislature has put on the ballot that includes, for the first time, state as opposed to federal funding for brownfield redevelopment, for redevelopment of contaminated sites, of which we have a lot. And we're also enthusiastic about the Creative and Cultural Facilities Bond, which will be funding a number of rehabs of cultural facilities, most of which are in urban and town centers where we think development makes the most sense.
Okay, Scott. Our guest has been Scott Wolf, Executive Director of Grow Smart Rhode Island. Thanks to Providence Business News, Mark Murphy.
Great to be here, Dave, as always.
I'm Dave Fallon, and this is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.
Support for The Bottom Line comes from Bank RI, a local bank creating financial solutions to help small businesses grow and succeed. More at bankri.com.